So good morning again, and you know, with natin Lord of all being, and that is the conviction behind our ethics of equality, because God is the Lord of all human beings. Dapat ay tingnan natin lahat ng sangkatauhan na magkakapantay-pantay, walang lamang, walang masangat pagdating sa lahi. And this is something that has defined our understanding of equality ethics. Yung mga pang-aapi, pangahamak ng dahil sa lahi, yan ay dapat walang puwang sa isang lipunan na kumikilala ng pagkakapantay-pantay. The irony is that while we confess, many people today confess the equality of all human beings, yet behind many beliefs are those that will challenge that very proposition. Kapag ang premise mo ay evolution, survival of the fittest, natural selection, eh yan yung mga kaisipan na tumutunggali o sumasalungat sa proposisyon natin na lahat ng sangkatauhan ay magkakapantay-pantay, samantalang ang paniwala natin ay God's creation of man. Nilalang ng Diyos ang tao, at sa paglalalang na yan, ang maliwanag na itinuturo ng salita ng Diyos, ang kakaibahan sa tao, sa lahat ng mga nilalang sa mundo, siya ang tanging nilalang sa wangis ng Diyos. Siya lamang ang may wangis ng Diyos, and that is true of Adam and Eve, and that means all men, all mankind, is in a very real sense a family, a singular family coming from a single pair. We believe in the historicity of Adam and Eve. They are not legends, they are not myths, they are historic individuals, the historic original pair. Yan din ang paniniwala ng ating Panginoong Hesus. Kaya sa katotohanan yan, nakabatay ang ating paniniwala, anuman ang lahi, ikaw man ay African or Asian kagaya natin, or Caucasian sa mga Westerners, lahat ng yan nagkakaiba-iba ng lahi, ngunit iisa ang pinanggalingan, iisang tambalan ni Adam and Eve, and in that sense, we are all brothers and sisters. Therefore, no place for racism. Sana sa dalawang huling lessons natin ay nakita natin yan. But we will be looking today at a different kind of inequality, this time on the basis of sexual difference, sexual differentiation. At siguro ang pinaka, so gender equality, ang universal symbols ng male and female. But from those very symbols, makikita na natin ang stereotyping. Alam niyo ba ang symbol na ito ng male? Kumakatawan sa spear and shield of Mars. Yung symbol na yan, shield and spear of Mars. Samantalang ang sa female, mauga ang screen. Sa female, yan daw ang mirror of Venus. So, sa symbols pa lang, makikita na natin ang stereotyping. Bakit para sa lalaki, giyera, shield and spear, parang away. Pagdating sa babae, salamin, parang pagpapaganda. And from there, already we see the stereotyping na nangyayari sa pagkilala ng mga difference in sexual or gender identity. For us, we believe in the conviction that they are equal, equality of men and women, at yan ang patutunayan natin ngayong umaga mula sa salita ng Diyos. Samantalang titingnan natin ang kasaysayan at magiging tapat tayo sa katotohanan that even Christians have failed in the matter of sexual equality, gender equality, and the victim many times are women. Sabihin na natin may mga ilang pagkakataon sigurong naging biktima ang kalalakihan, but by and large, the predominant victim in the sexual war, so to speak, are women. And this is symbolized in history by the Salem Witch Trial. Nangyari in the 1600s in America when there was tatlong girls na nagsabing sila ay ino-oppress ng mga witches, and dun sa lipunan nagkaroon ng witch hunt, and after the witch hunt, 19 women were hanged. May isang lalaki yata, pero most of those who were hanged were women, and that symbolizes in history the facts that the victimhood when it comes to gender identity is predominantly on women. At yan po ang titingnan natin ngayong umaga, tingnan natin yung forms of sexual or sexism, the forms of sexual oppression. Dalawa yung tingnan natin. Una is male priority. Maraming lipunan pa rin na inuuna gusto nila lalaking ipapanganak. At alam nyo ba, may mga lipunan na kapag na-determine na babae ang nasa sinapupunan, abortion na agad. O may situations pa where when the baby born is determined to be girl, either it is sent away to the orphanage or in some cases killed. Nangyayari pa rin yan because of male priorities. Mas gusto nila ang kababaihan. The male is seen as perpetuating one's paternal name and generation. Kumbaga, yung lalaki ang nagdadala ng aking pangalan. Pag babae, mapapangalanan niya ng iba at ibang henerasyon na ang kanyang itutuloy, samantalang lalaki ang magtutuloy ng aking pangalan. May ganyan pa rin mentalidad at meron pa rin ang mentalidad ay lalaki ang magtutuloy ng negosyo ng pamilya, ng ekonomiya ng pamilya, or men are still very much the gender that is seen to be productive. And until now, nagpapatuloy ito sa mga situations in the workplace where man and woman may be doing the same thing, doing the same work, but in terms of pay, the man is paid more than the woman. It's still happening. At isang bagay ito na dapat nating pakabantayan. Ang batas natin dapat ay umiral na may pagkakapantay pagdating sa same work. There must be same pay, no discrimination just because one is male and one is female. So that's one. Male priority is still very much the culture in many societies today. Kahit pa sa mga Pilipino, may mga kilala kayo na gusto nila lalaki pag ang balitang ipinanganak ay lalaki, bunying-bunye ang ama pag sinabing babae. Ha? May ganyan pa rin attitude at mentality which is definitely wrong. But the second form of sexual oppression is the more prevalent and the more serious, and that is sexual violence. Now, of course, there can be sexual violence perpetrated against boys and against men. But again, by and large, when it comes to sexual violence, definitely the greater leaning of victimhood is towards women. So we have here one of the more outspoken celebrities against sexual violence on women, Angelina Jolie, speaking at the Global Summit to End Sexual Violence last June 10 in London. And we honor such commitment, at dapat meron din tayong ganyang commitment. Kung tawagin ka, bigyan ka ng opportunity na magkaroon ng boses laban sa sexual violence, tanggapin mo because this is something that we very much need. And isa sa mga patuloy pa rin nangyayari is sexual abuse of women is still very much a tolerated offense in many cultures and in many societies. Siguro nabalitaan yung maraming nangyaring rape dyan sa India. Very scandalous, very brutal rapes ng both foreigners and native women. And yet, patuloy pa rin because of this tolerance of society ng mga sa pagdating sa rape. In legal processes, the process is leaning against women. Kinakalang patunaya yung kanyang sexual integrity at pag napakita na does this woman is sexually loose, eh mahirap na niyang patunayan yung rape. And in other words, it's still very much against women. Even when there is a law against rape, sexual violence is very much tolerated in many cultures, and in many cases, even worse. The whole paragraph taken from a zadif of Islam is very important, so let me read it completely. Under Islamic law, rape can only be proven if the rapist confesses or if there are four male witnesses. Women who allege rape without the benefit of the act having been witnessed by four men who subsequently develop a conscience are actually confessing to having sex. Ibig sabihin yan, unless may witness, kapag nagsumbong ng rape ang isang babae, she is confessing sexual consent. If the accused happens to be married, then it is considered to be adultery. However, it is not permissible to accuse the father of rape without evidence. Indeed, the Sharia, which is Islamic law, put some special conditions for proving zina, that's fornication or adultery, that are not required in case of other crimes. The crime of zina is not confirmed except if the fornicator admits it or with the testimony of four trustworthy men. While, take note the bold letters, the testimony of women is not accepted. That's Islamic law. In short, sinasabi, mapapatunayan lang ang rape in Islamic law kung mag-confess yung rapist. O kaya, mayroong four male witnesses. Yung testimony lang mismo ng victim na babae, hindi acceptable. So, can you imagine how terrible this bias is against women? So, itong makikita natin, sexual harassment, abuse is accepted behavior in the workplace. May attitude na boys will be boys. Kaya kung if they make a pass, it's something that women tolerate, something that women just have to endure. And if you are not enduring it, you're a snitch. Sumbungero ka. Gawain naman talaga ng mga lalaki yan. And that is something that, of course, should be unacceptable. Sexual violence, remember, is not simply the function of male desire. Sexual violence is the result of abuse of power. Ang tingin lang kasi ng iba, because of lust, because of desire, and that is not true. Sexual abuse, sexual violence is because of power. Somebody imposing his power upon the helpless, upon the powerless, and that makes it even more grievous and should not be acceptable. And yet, this is considered tolerable by many, even acceptable, and we will be looking now at some wrong responses to sexism, the sexual abuse of women, the oppression because of sexual identity, particularly of women. Well, una nating tingnan na wrong response are the Christian justification for it. Na justify kung minsan in the name of, binanggit ko kanina, gumagamit ng kasulatan. At dito madalas gamitin ang kasulatan sa paraan na ang gamit ay pagngangatwiran o pagtatanggol sa pag-aabuso sa mga kababaihan. Isa na rito ay the biblical teaching concerning male headship, which is true. Ephesians 5:23, concerning husband and wife, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. And in the name of male headship, ang nangyayari madalas ay inaalila ang asawang babae. Masyadong ini-impose, masyadong inaabuso ng asawang lalaki ang kanyang autoridad. At marami akong alam na mga kaso na Kristiyanong mag-asawa pero yung asawang lalaki ay mapang-api sa kanyang asawang babae at walang pakundangan, walang konsiderasyon, inconsiderate and everything else, and all in the name of male headship. And so we need to understand this male headship should be analogous to the headship of God over Christ. I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. So makikita natin yung analogy riyan, and that gives us some understanding. God, which of course is the Father, is the head of Christ. Now, does that mean that God the Father is above in terms of nature, above Christ? No. Kung alam mo ang doktrina ng Trinity, ang tawag rin ay co-equality, co-eternity. Pareho silang magkapantay sila ng likas, magkapantay sila ng kanilang mga katangian. Ngunit sa gawain, may mga bagay na ang ama ang nagtalaga, itinalaga ng ama ang anak sa isang gawain, hindi ang anak ang nagtalaga sa ama. So there is here an exercise of headship without any claim of superiority of nature. And then of course, it is impossible to think of the Father abusing the Son. So yung headship riyan is headship of equality, headship between equals, headship ng pareho ang kanilang nature, pareho ang kanilang status, pareho ang kanilang mga attributes. And yet, voluntarily, the Son made Himself to submit to the Father's will in the economy of their plan of salvation. But again, there can be no thought of abuse. There can be no thought of anything that will justify a husband in the name of exercising headship, abusing the wife. So yan ang isang bagay na dapat nating iwasto. May isa pang ginagamit na talata, the weaker vessel. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So, yan ang malimit na gamitin, weaker vessel. At ang iniisip nila, mahina talaga ang babae. Naalala ko nung naglaban sa pagkapangulo si Marcos at si Cory, first experience ng bansa na may babaeng tumatakbong pagkapangulo. At isang inilabas na patalastas ng grupo ni Marcos ay yung boses ng isang babaeng nagsasabi, "Babae ako, mahina ako." It fell on his face. Marami nag-react doon. Pero ganyan ang kaisipan ng marami na mahina ang babae sa makatuwid. Mas malakas ang lalaki. Kaya ang ginawa nilang interpretasyon, the woman is weaker intellectually. Mas matalino ang lalaki. The woman is weaker physically. Mas malakas ang lalaki. The woman is weaker emotionally. And I believe those propositions to be wrong. But how do we understand weaker here? Well, tingnan natin again a parallel, another use of the word weaker in another context, 1 Corinthians 12, tungkol sa mga gifts sa church. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Anong sinasabi rin ang weaker? Ang comparison po riyan ay yung gifts. Some gifts are meant to be public. Yun ang ibig sabihin ng presented. But other gifts are not meant to be public. But that does not mean a member with a gift that is not public is therefore inferior to a member whose gift is public. The gift given to me and by way of my calling, much is public. But I will never look at another member and think of that member as inferior intellectually, physically, or emotionally. Yan po talaga ay mali. Isang bagay na mapapatunayan ito sa mga nagsasabing mas malakas ang lalaki. Here are two facts. Facts which are results of studies. Women have a higher threshold of pain than men. Subukan ng lalaking manganak kahit isa lang. Palagay ko yung sigaw niya ay dudurog sa ospital. But this is a fact. Mas mataas ang kakayanan ng babae na tumanggap ng sakit. Let's say at this point, a man may die from pain, but the woman can still take it. Again, that is a fact, the result of study. Kaya kayo mga babae, huwag kayong maniwala sa mas malakas ang lalaki. Perhaps, pag nagbuhat ng mabigat, mas malakas ang lalaki. But that's just one angle of it. The fact is, women can handle more pain than men can do. Another, in terms naman daw nung emotional weakness, it is also known that widowers die earlier than widows. What does that mean? It means that widowers are unable to endure loneliness than can widows, women. So that's on the matter of emotion. Hindi totoo na, again, maaaring mas madaling umiyak ang babae at tinuturing na agad ang iba yon na emotional weakness. I disagree. On the real test, women can endure loneliness than men can do. And that shows emotional fortitude. So yan ang isang mali na response na galing sa mga Kristiyano, pangatwiranan ang panghahamak sa mga kababaihan. But then, a second wrong response is secular feminism. Secular feminism is the rejection of differences between male and female. Kumbaga parang gusto na nilang tanggalin lahat ng pagkakaiba-iba. But of course, that is impossible. There are real differences. And the most obvious is, again, pregnancy. Women bear babies, which goes to show something that has bearing on calling. Because women bear children, and because women have the body to care, to nourish children, that should be a telling, meron niyang malaking sinasabi tungkol sa panawagan ng mga kababaihan. Kahit isang bagay ito na dapat nating ipagtanggol. I believe in equality, but please take note, equality is not interchangeability. There are roles, especially as we shall see in covenant relationships such as marriage and in the church. There are roles assigned by God, and we just cannot erase those roles. Hindi tama na tanggalin ang mga papel na ibinigay ng Diyos. Feminism is ultimately abusive of women's rights and privileges. Yung sabihin na basta kung anong ginagawa ng lalaki, gawin din ng babae. Kung anong inaasahan sa lalaki, asahan din sa babae in an absolute way, that simply is abusive of women. Because again, pagdating sa pregnancy, of course, women are entitled to maternity leave. Eh, hindi naman i-insist yun ng lalaki. And everything else that have to do with the fact that their calling, the woman's calling, has very much to do with the child, with children. So we reject feminism. But then a third wrong response is the idea of sexual orientation, that any sexual choice is legitimate. And they call it simply their orientation. Now, let me begin by emphasizing and underscoring one thing, that Christians should treat yung tinatawag na LGBT community with the utmost courtesy. They are human beings and they must be so treated. No contempt whatsoever. We must extend our love, respect, and compassion to them. That's where we should begin. But having said that, to say that my sexual orientation is as legitimate as anyone's is wrong. The Christian cannot accept this for the simple reason that there are clear differentiation, and homosexuality is treated as a sinful lifestyle. Just read the bolden part. Women exchange natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations. So, pansinin niyo yung salitang nature. And what is that nature? The body. Your body defines you, your gender. Your body defines you sexually. And one cannot say na, well, I have a man's body, but my soul is a woman. You cannot put it that way. Your sexual identity is what you are physically. At dito nang nagsasayang ng milyon-milyones ang mga maraming laboratorio, they are looking for what is called the gay gene. Yung gene daw which makes a person gay, whether male or female. And they are looking for that one discovery by the microscope that will show that gay gene. They're wasting millions that could be spent for some more honorable purposes. They don't need a microscope. Just look at your body. Your body tells you what you are, whether you are male or female. And that must be something that we need to stress. Yet, both scriptures, history, and experience tell us that God's grace can work even in those who have had experience and lifestyle of homosexuality. Itong sinabi sa 1 Corinthians. Again, I'll just read the underscored portions. It says, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. A At binanggit sino yung mga unrighteous. And among those are men who practice homosexuality. Yet, towards the end, such were some of you. In other words, some of those in Corinth were these people. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified. In other words, the cleansing, sanctifying grace of God can radically change even people who have had a lifestyle of homosexuality. I have encountered such people. I know of such people in a personal way, and I know that conversion has changed them. So in other words, we do not give up hope even on those who have this lifestyle, because God's grace can work on them. So our conviction, instead of these wrong responses, is to underscore male and female equality. Maliwanag yan sa Genesis 1:27. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. So first, sa individual, and then as a couple, the image of God pertains to both. Male and female constitute mankind. Hindi yung male being lang. It's male and female who constitute mankind. They are equal in essential human nature. One is not less human than the other, and it shows mutual complementarity. They are equal in fallen sinfulness. They are equal in salvation by grace. And one of the best statements to that effect is Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Natanda niyo sinabi natin sa racial equality. Here you have it. No Jew nor Greek. Pagdating sa salvation, saving grace knows no race. By the same token, saving grace knows no sexual difference between male and female. It's the same grace that can save both man and woman. But having said that, we also believe in created distinction. Nilagyan ng pagkakaiba. There is distinction as well as structure. Man was not made from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man, in terms of that distinction. And in that distinction, there is a covenant structure. Meaning, naglagay ng pagsasaayos ang Diyos kung magkaroon ng tipa ng relasyon, ang lalaki at babae, meron ng iniayos ang Diyos. Huwag ng pagtalunan, kumbaga. Pagdating sa tahanan, ang panawagan ng babae, sinabi, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. So paano tinimbang ang karunungan ng isang babae? Now, remember, wisdom in Proverbs is not talking about education or intelligence. It's talking about virtue. How is the woman's virtue to be weighed? When she is married, she builds her house. Now, when it comes to the church, meron ding structure. And again, let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. Now, in the context, this is in the assembly of the church. Hindi ibig sabihin na hindi pwede magturo ang babae kung may mga lalaki. May mga ganyan ang pananaw, and I totally reject that. In the context, it is in the gathered assembly of the whole church. In the gathered assembly of the whole church, they gather as a covenant community. It is the men God called to do public ministry, public teaching and preaching. It doesn't mean that we do away with the ministries of women. They are essential to the upbuilding of the church. But there is a structure that God has upheld in the church. And here is what Dorothy Patterson said concerning the high calling of wife and mother. Few women realize what great service they are doing for mankind and for the kingdom of Christ when they provide a shelter for the family and good mothering, the foundation on which all else is built. A mother builds something far more magnificent than any cathedral. the dwelling place for an immortal soul, both her child's fleshy tabernacle and his earthly abode. No professional pursuit so uniquely combines the most menial tasks with the most meaningful opportunities. So, at sinasabi niya na huwag mong babain, huwag mong ibaba ang panawagan ng isang mother. The mother's influence is radically profitable worldwide and for history because of what you contribute to the next generation. And isn't it very meaningful that the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, should conclude about the woman? Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And Christians should be the ones most forward in exercising, in practicing that respect for women that the Bible itself expresses sa atin, itinuturo sa atin. So all forms of sexism must be rejected without the wrong responses of justifying it as some Christians do, or opting for feminism or for sexual orientation. Rather, we believe as Christians in equality, with distinction, and with a covenant structure. Any question? Josiah.
Pastor, question lang. Yung unang question ko, it has something to do with the patriarchal parang perspective in the Bible. It is parang generally patriarchal. And marami kasi ako nakikita mga comments sa internet, like some feminists don't really believe the Bible because masyado raw patriarchal yung perspective, and they're trying to push for changes in the words used, like aside from men, na gagawin for more politically correct words like people or human beings. Yun po yung first question ko. Ano pong comment nyo for regarding the use of words in the Bible na some people are trying to make changes regarding that? And yung second question naman, medyo ano siya sa topic ng modest attire. Kasi a few months ago, there is this forum that I'm following, and there was one heated discussion, well, sa UPLB siya, about attire ng females, and some females voice out that they don't want to be judged based on their attire when they are wearing very inappropriate clothes. And parang nagiging argument nila parate, parang nasa karapatan namin na magsuot kami, na okay lang sa amin na magsuot kami ng gantong damit, pero wag niyo kami i-judge by our parang yung ano, na parang ang nagiging context parati is in terms of sexual violence, na parang nagiging ano sa rape, and yung parang pagtitingnan sila ng inappropriately ng mga ibang tao.
Well, doon muna sa translation ng scripture na for the sake of political correctness, tatanggalin yung mga male references, and that is dishonesty to scripture. The philosophy of biblical translation is reproduce the words of the original with the accurate thought. Yan ang philosophy ng biblical translation. Kaya kung ano yung ginamit sa original, kung halimbawa ang male reference, don't change it just to be politically correct. Now, if you say na the society of Israel was patriarchal, it was in the sense that it was male-ruled. But again, it was a covenant structure. And in a covenant structure, God has mandated that the male rules, whether that's home or that's the church. Now, hindi yung sabihin na sa opisina, sa pamahalaan, bawal mag-rule ang babae. Hindi. Doon lang sa covenant structure, covenant community, which happens to be the home and the church. Now, as to attire, first, I reject the proposition na because of a woman's attire, she's asking for rape. There's that mentality na she's looking for it. That certainly is wrong, and I totally reject that. But then, on the other hand, you also have scriptures like 1 Timothy chapter 2, where women are expected to wear modest apparels, especially in the assembly of the church. So the point of the principle na I will suggest sa pagdating sa outfit ay as appropriate to the occasion and the place. If you're in the beach, magsi-swimming ka, of course you are expected to wear less in order for you to swim. Pero in a classroom, in more formal forum, and especially in the church, we do have a biblical principle of modest apparel. Follow up, go ahead.
Follow up lang po dun sa, isa rin po kasi na medyo confused ako kung ano dapat ang reaction is, what if a woman places herself in a situation where yung conditions she places herself in is not really good, and let's say for example something happens, meron rin po bang liability yung babae because she placed herself in that situation even though she's not clearly not asking for it, but what if something happens na kanina yung liability? I mean, is there, parang, is the woman also guilty of something?
Well, a woman can be careless and can be flirtatious. And in that way, she provokes a situation. The abuser should still be punished, but the woman bears responsibility kung hindi siya maingat. And again, 1 Timothy chapter 2, points that out. Other questions?
Pastor, regarding po dun sa yung sexual abuse nga po among women, alam naman po natin, maski sa society natin, napaka very, ano na po ito, problem na rin po kasi kahit po within the family, lalo pa po sa hindi Kristiyano, may mga nangyayari pong ganito kahit pa po sa mismong kamag-anak. Ngayon, yun pong sa globally naman po, yung human trafficking is a prevalent crime din po. So kahit po ang mga Pilipina ay nasa subject na din po sa ganitong problema po ng lipunan. So bilang mga Kristiyano po, ano po yung mga pwede po natin as parents and even as individuals na maitutulong para po hindi po mangyari yung ganito, dahil ito nga po yung pinapaniwalaan natin na bawat isa po ay tayo po ay pantay-pantay at may karapatan sa harapan ng Diyos.
Diyan papasok yung mahalagang papel ng magulang, especially ng ina sa pagpapalaki ng kanyang mga anak and the daughters especially, to raise them in such a way that they know their place in society, and that there should be respect for women, and there should be zero tolerance of sexual abuse of children. Child abuse, I have encountered that. At isang problema yan na marami nagpapa-counsel sa akin. And I maintain the view that child abuse should be given zero tolerance, meaning yung iba kasi nag-iisip na lasing kasi, ng drugs. Alam nyo ba na sa law, kapag lasing ka, that is an aggravating circumstance, hindi siya mitigating. Pag naghahato ng huwes, kung pabibigatin niya o pagagaang niya ng kanyang sentensya, kinukonsider niya yung aggravating and mitigating, and drunkenness is an aggravating circumstance. Ganun din yung drugs. Kapag nakadroga, hindi siya nagpapagaan. Nagpapabigat pa nga siya. So, there should be no excuse whatsoever to any abuse of children. That's my position. And I'm sure there are other laws na magagawa ang pamahalaan para ma-reforma yung nangyayari na trafficking and other causes of sexual abuse. Esther.
Ano po, with all the hype po ng feminism the past decades, ang isa pong lumalabas na nakikita ko around media ay ano naman, campaigns against male violence naman po. Kasi sabi daw, dahil nga very parang mas tolerant na sa feminists yung society ngayon, may mga babae na ina-abuse yung fact na yung mga lalaki hindi sila lalaban sa mga babae. Case in point, may napanood akong video na parang ano, social experiment siya na may couple na naglalakad sa kalsada tapos yung first instance, yung lalaki, inaaway niya yung babae. Na parang gusto, ano, hapasin na ganyan. Tapos yung mga tao nag-react, ano, inaaway yung lalaki, tapos ano, tinreten na isusumbong sa police, gano'n. Tapos, ginawa ulit nila yon pero this time yung babae yung umaway dun sa lalaki. Tapos actually, mas violent yung babae kasi hinahampas-hampas talaga yung lalaki, gano'n. Tapos yung mga tao, natatawa lang dun sa itsura. So, paano tayo mag-response sa ganun?
Well, totoo yun. Yung ganung study na kanina ng reaction ng mga tao, actors lang ito, lalaki, sinaktan yung babae, masama ang reaction ng mga tao. Then, the same actors, yung babae ngayon ang nanakit sa lalaki, yun ang reaction ay binaliwala, tinawanan pa. Ay, at least acting lang yun. Pero pag sa totoong buhay, pinugbog ng asawang babae yung lalaki, eh, awatin mo pagkatapos bugbugin mo ulit yung lalaki. Bakit siya nagpapabugbog? No, biro lang. Ang ibig ko sabihin ay it's rejection either way. I am just reflecting the fact that in history, by and large, the victims were women. And even now, sa present time, present life, but the, by and large, still the victims are women. That's the fact of life. Now, the fact that it happens on the reverse also should not be tolerated. Yes, thank
you. Sa society natin, Pastor, unconsciously, it permeates in our society through television, saka yung ads. Kasi may study nun ako nabasa na pag babae ang model with skimpy clothes, ang nag-endorse ng product, malaki ang sales. So, nagagamit, pero unconsciously, hindi natin na-realize na napapanood ng mga anak natin sa TV, tapos parang acceptable na sa society. So, it's also, sa akin, it's also a form of abuse kasi it's training our minds na pag babae, okay, yung ganun ang itsura niya sa television or sa public. Pero pag lalaki, parang hindi acceptable. So, bakit, ano po dapat ang maging response natin?
Anything that tends to the objectifying of women should be found something questionable at the very least. Yung ginagawang bagay lang o commodity, yung woman, modeling in and of itself is not wrong in terms of modeling clothes, etc. Pero yung pag umabot na sa displaying one's body as an object and as a commodity, it contributes to the cheapening of women in society as far as body display is concerned. Paul.
Pastor, would it be considered improper or perhaps wrong for a Christian to accept, for example, employment in an organization that recognizes same-sex marriage or even prohibits corporal punishment in programs or even be involved in work that tries to end corporal punishment in families and in schools?
If it becomes law?
Ano po ba? If, for example, a Christian... is involved in employment or is considering employment in an organization that respects or encourages or maybe recognizes same-sex marriage or even has programs related to ending corporal punishment in homes. Is that considered improper or?
No, same-sex marriage can only be legal if it is made legal by law. So hindi isang organization ang magpapalegalize ng same-sex marriage. And I am against same-sex marriage. Now let me make myself clear. I think we should not prohibit same-sex relationship by adults. Hindi natin mapipigil yung sarili nilang desisyon. I'm against it, but sarili nilang desisyon yun. What I'm against is making it a legal marriage. Why? Because my tax goes to it. They benefit from my tax. And that means na government becomes responsible to take care of them as being legally married. So I will not forbid same-sex companionship, and I think the law cannot make that a crime. However, same-sex marriage is another thing, and I am totally against it in terms of making it legal.
Question po sa ano? A few months ago, World Vision, I think it's a large multinational company, World Vision, they retracted a decision wherein they allowed they were employing openly gay employees. Parang they retracted that decision para kasing it's against their policy or something. What should be our reaction towards that? Parang should we support?
World Vision is a Christian organization. A Christian organization with a Christian mandate. And therefore, it would be wrong for it to pursue a Christian mission while employing someone who claims to pursue a mission while he is violating the clear standard of Scripture. Now, I am not against gay people being employed, but I am against gay people being employed in a professedly Christian church or organization. Other questions? Yes, Brother Joe.
In terms of covenant structure in the church, we all know and we see a lot of churches which are women dominated in terms of leadership. My question is, how does this impacted the church, I mean the true church, and how do we respond to these things?
Well, again, first of all, let me begin by saying I recognize the importance of female ministries in the church. The church will not be able to move ahead without the involvement, active involvement of women in the church. And there are many things that women can do. There are many things where they excel. And if they contribute to those ministries, the church, it will be very much, very, very good for the church. Having said that, we also have clear statements, as binasa natin kanina, 1 Timothy chapter 2, where women are not allowed in the public assembly of the church to take the leading role of preaching, teaching, and speaking in the public assembly of the church. And that means ministries like the pastorate and public preaching would not be allowed to women, not because they are being deprived, but because they are being assigned somewhere else, because they excel in somewhere else. And we must respect where there is a clear regulation of the New Testament concerning church leadership. But the fact that this is now so rampant only shows how rampant disobedience to scriptures is, even among churches. And that's where reformation comes in. We need reformation in churches, among others, in terms of the structure of leadership. Any last thoughts, John?
I have a question about women in the military. There are those who, I've heard from a teacher say that once, I mean, we know that there are women in the military, but in most countries, the women are not allowed to participate in missions that are directly related to the combat. So they're not allowed in the front line and so on. And I think this has been a recent controversy in the US, as there are feminists who push for equality, that women should be given the same responsibilities and privileges. While this preacher says that our nation has failed these women, the nation and its men have failed women once they have allowed them to participate in frontline combat.
Again, there are many things that women can do during wartime, and they have excelled in these things kahit nung World War II, during the Vietnam War, in terms ng medical mission, logistics, etc. The first time that a woman was allowed in combat, at least in an American war, was in 1991 when yung Desert Storm, and they did not fare very well. In terms of actual combat, mas pinarami ng the Second Iraq War 2003, mas mabuti-buti na, but I believe that there are things women can do better in wartime without being chauvinist in the matter. I believe that they can do much better in terms of logistics, medical care, and other things rather than in actual combat. That's my position. Sa mga pagdating sa mga rough and tumble, let me challenge you. I'm sure you can name a lot among NBA stars. Tell me one name of the WNBA. One name ng WNBA. I'm sure those who follow it, makakapangalan. Pero sino sa atin ang talagang makakapangalan ng isang star ng WNBA? Why? Because pagdating sa rough and tumble, that's where we can say that men have the physique. Now, that's not being male chauvinist. It's just that I believe there are differences when it comes to the physical. Well, so pagdating sa wartime, women can excel and can contribute better in other ways than combat.
If I'm not mistaken, yun yatang, I don't know if the first or one of the summa cum laude sa PMA is a female. At nung pinapasok sa mga babae sa PMA, marami nag-shine na females. Ano pong masasabi niyo doon?
In academics, they shine. But one of those honored women, among others, a few months later, plane crash. No, again, I'm not saying that women will not excel in combat. They excelled in the academics at PMA, but it's still the men who are out there in combat. And I believe that women can contribute better by other means than combat. Because pagdating sa rough and tumble, which war requires, I think it's the men who have the physique for it than the women. I request last thoughts. Meron pa? Well, sana ipakita natin dito how the church and Christians differ. Again, on the basis of creation, as well as on the basis of the gospel, we have all the more reasons why we should have our equality ethics intact, whether it involves race or gender differences. We believe that all men and women are created equal, and that we believe the same salvation by grace gospel is extended equally to all men and women, let us reflect that by our ethics of equality. Let us close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, nagpapasalamat kami sa mga tinalakay namin hinggil sa pagkakapantay-pantay ng mga tao. At kasama na rito ang pagkakapantay-pantay hindi lamang sa lahi, but maging sa aming mga sexual na pagkakapantay-pantay aming dapat itaguyod. We pray that we may recognize that by creation, both man and woman are in God's image, and by way of fall into sin, we are all depraved. And yet, through the Lord Jesus Christ, men and women who believe in Jesus are equally saved. And we ask, O Lord, that we may show this in our own practice, in our own courtesy to one another. And yet, we also pray that we may reject the wrong responses that have been made concerning this. Huwag nawa naming pangatwiranan na ginagamit pa ang kasulatan upang ipagtanggol ang panghahamak sa mga kababaihan o ang pang-aapi. Huwag rin nawa kami mahulog sa feminismo. We pray that we may recognize that there are differences between male and female that you have created, and help us, Lord, not to fall into the idea of sexual orientation, for you made us male and female as defined by our physical structure. We ask, Lord, that we may recognize also the covenant relationship has your mandated roles for male and female in the home and male and female in the church. Help us, Lord, to advance the cause of reformation in many other churches that fail to recognize this, and grant that we may truly be those who truly vow to your wisdom in creating mankind as male and female. We honor you in this, and in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.